Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
So continuing this morning with our theme of looking at the lives of various Bible characters over the past few months, we're going to be looking this morning at the life of one very well-known Old Testament character, the man Moses. So there's a lot we could look at in his life. His life is quite unique, and there's a lot of unusual and interesting events in his life. His life needs to be divided into three 40-year periods, 40 years in Egypt, and then 40 years in the land of Midian, and then 40 years in the wilderness leading the children of Israel. So we're going to briefly look at the first 80 years of his life as an overview, and then hone in on a few of his character qualities and see what we can learn from that, namely his faith in God and commitment to serving the Lord, and then we're going to see how those things can affect our lives and service to God. So let's just pray. Thank you, Lord, that we can have this time to open your word together. And I pray that we would be encouraged by your words this morning and walk with you, and I pray that you give me the right words to say this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So, beginning with Genesis 46, we turn that to go. Hopefully, you have your Bible. There's going to be looking a lot of passages this morning. Genesis 46, this is God speaking to Jacob in a vision. Verses 3 and 4. And he said, I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will there make of thee a great nation. I will go down with thee into Egypt, and I will also surely bring thee up again. So God gives Jacob confirmation to go down to Egypt, as well as two promises. One, that he will make other Hebrew people in Egypt a great nation while they're there. And secondly, that he will bring them out of Egypt again. Joseph also says in Genesis 50, verses 24 and 25, Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up your bones from thence. So it is now approximately 350 years since God's promise to Jacob, and the Hebrew people are a thriving nation in Egypt, population near, possibly near 2 million people. So great that the new Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, who does not know Joseph, he fears a takeover by the Hebrew people. So we turn to Exodus chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. This is Pharaoh, and he said unto the people, Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more mighty than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply and come to pass that when they fall without any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. So Pharaoh implements his strategy of letting slaves the Israelite people, as well as begins killing the baby Hebrew boys. That's at this time of distress and difficulty for the Hebrew people that the boy Moses is born. So right from the beginning of Moses' life, we see God's hand of providence on his life. And this reminds me of something that Mordecai says in the book of Esther, who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this. As we will see, Moses has come for such a time. Right from the beginning of his life, we see God's hand of providence on him. So let's turn now to Exodus chapter 2, and we'll be reading from verses 1 house of Levi, and took a wife of the daughter of Levi. The woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes, and dabbed it with slime and pitch, and put the child therein. And she laid it in the flags by the river's bank, and his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him, and said, "This is one of the Hebrew's children." Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go call to thee and nurse the Hebrew woman, that she may nurse the child for thee?" And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Go." And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I'll give thee wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it, and the child grew. She brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son, and she called his name Moses. And she said, "We could not bring him out of the water." So Moses' parents' names are Amram and Jochebed. So they hired Moses for 3 months. And trusting God that he would work out the situation. So this is mentioned in Hebrews 11 as an act of faith. So turn together to Hebrews 11, verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, and because of his soul, he was a proper child, and was not afraid of the king's commandment. Moses' mother takes Moses and puts him in a basket, sets him floating in the Nile River. Moses' sister Miriam is keeping tabs on him, keeping an eye on him, floating in the river. And Pharaoh's daughter goes down and sees the basket floating in the river and finds Moses. I like the way Miriam negotiates the situation with Pharaoh's daughter and organizes him to be cared for by his mother. Pharaoh's daughter even offered him to pay for his care. This time in Moses' life is quite vague. Nothing is said really particularly about the contact between Moses' parents and Pharaoh's daughter. But evidently Moses was protected until he was old enough to be adopted by Pharaoh's wanting to the royal family, but the time he spent with his parents is not really mentioned at all, although he must have had enough time with his parents to be able to be taught about the ways of God, about God and the promise that God had made to Abraham, also the promise to deliver Egypt. So he was at some point informed of his role to deliver the Hebrew people. He does not know yet how that will be carried out. And so we jump ahead 40 years into Moses' life. So he's been taught in the ways of the Egyptians and the wisdom of the Egyptians, and been raised with the privileges of being Moses, raised with the privileges of being Pharaoh's daughter's son. So Moses is 40 years old, he sees the bondage his Hebrew brethren are under. And so this time in Moses' life, we really see his faith in God at work. Moses had everything in the world's eyes he could possibly want. Most people probably wouldn't even leave the pursuit of what he had, but he leaves that to, he rejects that for the greater reward. As we see in Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, reading verse 24 to 26. Hebrews 11, 24 to 26. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. So Moses makes the important decision in his life to reject the pleasures of sin in Egypt and serve the Lord. So Moses' faith is really incredible faith. Todd, we're going to look more into that shortly. So he's called to save the Egyptians. He's called to save the people of Israel from the Egyptian slavery. Still not clear to me how. We turn to Acts. Acts chapter 7 kind of summarizes this part of his life quite well. So read Acts 7, 23 to 29. When he was fully 40 years old, it came to his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him, and was avenged him that was oppressed and smote the Egyptian. For he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not. And the next day he showed himself unto them that strove, and would have set them at one again, saying, Sirs, ye brethren, why do you wrong one another? But he that did his neighbor wrong thrust him away, saying, Who made thee a ruler and a judge over us? Wilt thou kill me as thou killest the Egyptian yesterday? Then fled Moses at this saying, he was a stranger in the land of Midian, but he begat two sons. So Moses is on the run for fear of his life from Pharaoh. He ends up spending the rest of, well, he ends up spending the next 40 years of his life in the land of Midian, but he's married and has two sons, as it says. So Moses gets out of Egypt, and God uses this time in Moses' life to get Egypt out of Moses. No doubt it was 40 years in the land of Midian, coming from life as a prince to a shepherd, he must have learned a lot. There's probably many times in his life where he was wondering what in the world was going on. I'm supposed to be leading the children of Israel out of Egypt, and said he was wandering around the land of Midian. So we see his call to return to Egypt comes in the most unusual way. He's caring for his father-in-law's sheep, and he sees a burning bush that is not being consumed. God commissions Moses to lead the children of the Israelites out of Egypt. He has the authority to do miracles. Moses feels inadequate, and God ends up sending his brother Aaron with him as his spokesman. So Moses returns to Egypt with his family. And him and Aaron go straight to the Israelite elders. We'll read Exodus chapter 4. Exodus chapter 4, verses 29 to 31. And Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel, and Aaron spake all the words which the Lord had spoken unto Moses, and did the signs in the sight of the people. And the people believed, and when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel, and that he had looked upon their affliction, then they bowed their heads in worship. So then Moses and Aaron go confront Pharaoh. We all know the start of the story well. Pharaoh's heart is hardened repeatedly, and over and over, Moses and Aaron walk into all the fullness into the presence of the most powerful ruler of the time, and then with authority given by God, they end up unleashing on Egypt. Series of devastating plagues that actually destroys Egypt. But we still note here God's grace as he gave Pharaoh opportunity each time to believe. So the 10 plagues, there was the blood, the frogs, the lice, the flies, Egyptian livestock was killed, boils, there's fire and hail, locusts and darkness, and then the final plague, the death of the Egyptian's firstborn. The Israelite firstborn saved because of their faith in God. So Pharaoh kicks the Israelites out of Egypt in the middle of the night, and the Israelites take all the Egyptian spoil with them. This is the second time Moses leaves Egypt. The first time he left in fear, and then, like, this time he's leaving in faith. The Israelite people led by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. So the Egyptian Pharaoh's army ends up pursuing the children of Israel, and they're trapped between the mountains, on either side, and the sea in front of them. The Pharaoh's army coming from behind. Now we again see Moses' incredible faith. Now by this time he's had some experience with miracles, but still he absolutely trusts along the most intense situations. Pharaoh's army bearing down on the people he's leading. And he says in Exodus 14, 13 and 14, Moses said unto the people, "Fear not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again, no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." So the Red Sea passed, and Israel walked through on dry land, and behold, so we've been briefly through the first 80 years of Moses' life. The next 40 years he spends leading the children of Israel through the wilderness. A journey that shouldn't have taken any more than 2 years, including their prolonged stay around Sinai. Many major events in the next 40 years of Moses' life. Main events of which are him receiving the law and being the overseer of the building of the tabernacle and the Ark of the Covenant. We're going to focus on the next time, we're going to focus on Moses' character qualities and how they affect his life. So he had faith in God, in meekness, patience, he was teachable, he was unwavering in his commitment to serve the Lord. Like everyone, Moses has he makes his mistakes in life, for sure. He kills the Egyptian. He makes excuses for burning the bush. He breaks the tablets of stone that the Ten Commandments on. And he strikes the rock instead of speaking to him. So we will focus on what he did right in his life. I know there's a lot that I can learn from Moses' character. So take a moment to look at that. So, as we've seen many times in Moses' life, he's faced with difficult circumstances to test his faith. And what stands out to me is his unwavering commitment to serve the Lord that pulls him through these difficult times when everything is against him, it seems. So Moses' faith in life is surprised. It's really incredible faith. It's hard in a way for us to understand how much faith he had, because we read the Bible, we see the big picture, we know right away the outcome of Moses' life, but he didn't know what was going to happen, and still he had his faith in God. So faith meaning trust and certainty and confidence. So we're going to turn to Hebrews 11 again. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Verse 27. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. So Moses' faith, and his faith in the lives of God, that he responds to God's commands as though God is standing visibly in front of him. You see in verse 27, he responds to seeing him who is invisible. Moses' meekness is mentioned in Numbers 12. Numbers 12, verse 3. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. Meekness meaning strength under control, not easily provoked, humility. This character trait is put to the test many times in Moses' life, leading the complaining murmuring Israelites through the wilderness. It seems to have always complained to Moses. A few passages that demonstrate that. Exodus 14, 11, and 12. And they said unto Moses, "Be good, there were no graves in Egypt. Hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou helped us with us to carry us out of Egypt?" Is not this the word that we can tell thee in Egypt, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? Would it be better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness? Exodus 16, 2 and 3. And the whole congregation of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness, and the children of Israel said unto them, "Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord of the land of Egypt, and we sat by the flesh parts of whom we did eat bread to the full, for ye have brought us forth unto the wilderness to kill the whole assembly with hunger." In Exodus 17, 3 and 4, and the people thirsted for water, and the people murmured against Moses, and said, Wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, "What shall I do unto his people? They be almost ready to stone me." So Moses has near 2 million people complaining to him. I think these passages really show his faithfulness to God in the area God had called him. And also that he chose his incredible walk with God, his closeness to the Lord. So the Israelites left slavery in Egypt. When they want to return, Moses left his place of prominence in Egypt, and he's faithful to his service to God. Moses must have been very strong in the joy of the Lord, not to be completely overwhelmed by the complaining Israelites. So, we also see Moses' teachable heart, the result of his humility and meekness. We see that when his father, the Lord Jethro, gives him good advice, and Moses takes that advice. Exodus 18, verse 17 to 19, and also verse 24. Exodus 18, 17 to 19. And Moses' father-in-law said unto him, "The thing that thou doest is not good. Thou wilt surely wear away, because thou art in this people that is with thee. For the thing is too heavy for thee, and thou art not able to perform it thyself alone. Hearken now unto my voice, I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring the causes unto God." In verse 24, "So Moses hearkened to the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he had said." We also see Moses prays with earnestness and often intercedes for the people when they've done wrong, even for those who have wronged him. A couple of verses to demonstrate that. "And it came to pass in the morrow that Moses said unto the people, Ye have sinned a great sin, and now I will go up unto the Lord, who venture shall make atonement for your sins." In Numbers 12, verse 3, his sister Miriam had wronged him, and he says, he prays for the healing of the Lord. And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, "Heal her, O God, I beseech you." Numbers 14, verses 19 and 20. Father, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people, according unto the greatness of thy mercy, and as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. Moses is mentioned as the greatest prophet in Deuteronomy 34. Deuteronomy 34, verse 10. And there rose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. Moses makes mention of the Messiah in Deuteronomy 18, 15, as the ultimate prophet, capital P. And the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him shall ye hearken. So we see Moses as kind of a Christ type. There are many similarities between Moses and Christ. They were both spared death as babies. They both renounced the royal court. They had compassion for the people. They made intercession for the people. They both saw God face to face. Moses introduces the law and the covenants. Christ gives a new and better covenant. Moses delivered the people from bondage in Egypt, and Christ delivered us from bondage to sin. I think there is a lot we can learn from the life of Moses. His faithfulness to God and the position God has called him. We might think we can't be as useful as Moses was because we are in that position, but with all the purpose in God's plan, we can be faithful to him right in places and situations God has put us. There are many examples in the Bible of many people who were faithful to God in the place he had called them. I think of the little maid in 2 Kings who was a slave in a foreign land, and yet she was a witness for God to her mistress. Or the Apostle Paul's young nephew who saved Paul's life. So Moses was in an important position. But he wouldn't have been there unless his mother hadn't had the faith to hire him, or if his parents hadn't talked to him about God, or if his sister had been at the right place at the right time to arrange the situation for his daughter. So whatever our position in life, God has a purpose for it. We must endeavor to be faithful in the area God has called us. So in closing, I'd like to read Hebrews 10 verses 23-25. Kind of thinking of the Hebrew people didn't really help Moses as much. He was a hindrance in his walk with the Lord, though he was incredibly strong in his walk with the Lord, but it provoked him a lot. So I think this verse is quite fitting for us to, instead of provoke each other, we can do what this passage says. So verses 23-24. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. Let's pray. I pray that we would grow our walk with you as believers. I pray that we'd have faith in you and trust you, whatever the situation is in our lives. And I pray that we would be encouragement to each other.
tradition of my family has been that my children are supposed to tell me something they heard from the message before they can participate in snack time. So Alfred, of course, is trying to rush across before Pal's in his brain to tell me what he needs to remember. But in that spirit, something stood out from what you shared this morning, was just how God spent 40 years getting Moses out of Egypt and another 40 years getting Egypt out of Moses. And I won't pick on anyone here today, but I haven't even hit 40 yet. I don't know if you've hit 80. I know it's 120 years might be a bit stretched for all of us, but I remember spending a lot of time as a younger man worrying about getting God's action in my life going, right? Like, to be spiritual and have that effect and impact that had. It was like Moses, 40 years, and he's barely started on God's plan for his life, and yet the whole thing was part of God's plan for his life. So just a reminder to me to slow down and let God do his thing and worry about the things he's put actually in front of my life and not the stuff I wish was happening. So in that spirit, let us sing praise to our God as we close in one more song. Definitely stand.